Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Fight as much as he says, stand, to hold your ground. He hasn't called us to retreat, to go backwards. He's called us to hold our ground and to take our stand. Against the devil's what? Schemes. Isn't that interesting? He talks about schemes. And that is one of, if you look at Satan's quiver and his arsenal, his number one weapon is lies and deceit and schemes. He doesn't very often come with this, just these obvious things. He likes to come in a deceptive way. Think about Adam and Eve in the garden. Satan says, it's a partial truth. He says, you know what, if you eat that tree, you're not going to die. Well, they didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. And sin entered the world. He comes to Jesus as he's being tempted out as he begins his ministry and says, if you are the Son of God, he plants those seeds of doubt. If you are the Son of God, turn this bread, these rocks into bread. And so the devil is, he's sly, he's a scheming guy, and so he wants to come. And so we have to have our armor on so that we are protected from his attacks. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, right? Often it seems that way, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like that? It does. Think about Paul and Silas. We talked about them a couple weeks ago. There's this lady that follows them around. She's demon-possessed. She's able to tell the future. They cast out the demon. And all of a sudden, her owners get upset, turn the crowd on Paul and Silas, and they end up in prison. They end up being flogged. They end up getting beaten. Doesn't it kind of seem like this battle is a little bit physical? Yeah. I mean, you looked at Paul and shoulders backs, and it looked pretty physical to me. But Paul says, you know what? It's not a physical battle. We don't fight these battles with swords and weapons of our own. Instead, we go to God in prayer because there's powers at work that we cannot see in the spiritual realm, that we have to fight on our knees in prayer and in God's word by putting on the full armor of God. I even think about, if you read the book of Daniel, Daniel's in prayer, and he's praying for an answer, but his answer is delayed. Why is his answer delayed? Okay. Because the angel says, I've been delayed because of the prince of Persia. There was another evil spiritual authority, and there was a battle that was taking place that Daniel could not see. And that battle was won. Finally, the battle was won, and the angel came with an answer to him. And it was future prophecy concerning things that were to come. But there's a battle that's raging that we cannot see with our physical eyes. And we cannot fight it with physical weapons, but we fight it with the armor of God and with the strength that he provides. All right? And so therefore, Paul says, since we're fighting against these spiritual forces that we cannot see, we need to put on the full armor of God, not just the part that we like, but the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground after done everything to stand. Now, Paul gives us an illustration, and it's a favorite of a lot of people. Okay, they've probably been taught it in children's church on up. But he gives us an illustration, and as he's in prison writing, who's guarding him? Probably a Roman soldier, right? And he goes, man, you know, there's some analogy there. There's some illustration there. As a Roman soldier was standing there and thought, you know what? These guys, when they come to work, when they're on duty, they come not just in their shorts and their flip-flops, okay, and their cut-off tank top. They come for battle. They come for war. Because they're in a battle and they're in a war. No Roman soldier would think of going out to battle in their shorts and their tank top and flip-flops. They're going to come prepared for battle. But you know what? I think a lot of Christians, we go to battle. We go out day to day and we've We go out in our flip-flops or shorts and our tank tops, and all of a sudden, Satan kind of smacks us around a little bit, and we go, man. And then we start crying. We go, oh, right? I don't want to make it. But it's kind of like we go out without our armor on, and then we expect not to be attacked. You're going to be attacked, therefore put on the full armor of God. That's what Paul wants to emphasize. He wants us to live in victory and in strength. Are you going to be attacked by the enemy? Absolutely. It's not a maybe or an if. You will be. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Now, to help us out here, I believe we have a Roman soldier that is here. Do we have a Roman soldier? Who's going to be a Roman soldier? Is it you? All right. You're going to be a Roman soldier? Okay. All right, you got delegated. All right. Here's our Roman soldier. Is he ready for battle? Yeah. He is not ready for battle. Paul says in verse 14, to stand firm then with the first part of armor he talks about is the belt of truth. Do we have a belt of truth in the house? Who has the belt of truth? All right. Here we go. We got our belt of truth. Can you put it on him, do you think? No, okay, we'll let him put it on. All right. He's going to put on the belt of truth. All right. I think it's Mark's belt, so it should fit you. This is a little bit what a Roman belt or girdle, they called it. Girdle. Okay, that doesn't seem too Roman soldierish. But the belt, what it did, it was the first part of armor that they would put on. And it was the belt, like in our culture, and even just when we get dressed, a belt, what, helps hold your pants on, kind of holds your shirt in, and it does some of those essential things, right? It kind of holds you together. In the same way, the belt for the Roman soldier held on this girdle, okay, some protection for the loins, okay? They called that the loins. We don't use that loins much anymore, but for their loins, okay? But it also... on there was a clip for their scabbard, their sword scabbard, okay? So the sword would hang on there. They'd also have a pouch for rations, maybe some more food, okay? They're out there fighting, or for the day it was their lunch bag, okay? They carried that in there. So that would hang from there. Also, their breastplate would, there'd be loops that would hold the breastplate in place. That would go through the belt. And so the belt held things together. Now, Paul says the belt is compared to truth in our lives. Now, is it talking about God's truth? According to several people that I trust, and they said no, it can be that, but it appears to be truthfulness in our own lives. That when we live our lives in truth, when we live our lives in truthfulness, it's like a belt that holds everything together. Now think about that. If you lie and you're dishonest and you don't have truthfulness in your life, doesn't your life kind of tend to come undone at times? It lasts for so long, then all of a sudden it all comes unraveled, doesn't it? And it catches up with us. And when there's not truthfulness on the inside, we end up having to cover things, and we can't be open and honest and authentic because we have these secrets deep inside us that we don't want other people to see. And it restricts us. And it gives a foothold to the enemy in our lives when we don't live our lives with truthfulness. And so the first thing that we can do in putting on the full armor of God is to live our lives with truthfulness. Day in, day out. To live our lives to... How can we live truthful? Come on, give me some feedback. How can we live truthful? You have to talk loud. Huh? Okay, don't tell lies. What else? To be real. Okay. What else?
Don't trust in Satan.
Okay. Truthfulness means that we live our lives with integrity, doesn't it? And full honesty and truthfulness. That people can look at our lives, what they see on the outside is what's happening on the inside. It talks about truthfulness in the inner being. And that is like a belt that holds and binds our lives together that it doesn't restrict us. In fact, it gives us freedom. So the soldier, he could go out into the heat of battle and he could be just waging away. And he knew that his breastplate was going to stay in place. He knew that his sword was going to stay in place. And the other things were going to, even with all the activity and action that was taking place, everything was held together. And in your lives as well, when we live our lives with truthfulness, we get out in the busyness of life. Truth is what holds our lives together. It's that connecting thing. So, the first thing that the Roman soldier put on was the belt of truth. Secondly, Paul says to have the breastplate of righteousness. Do we have a breastplate of righteousness in the house? I think I saw it someplace. All right, here we go. All right, you better take it over to Daniel there. Put it over his head. All right, I think he's up, due for an upgrade here. I think you've outgrown it. All right. And you can see a picture of one here. They are often made of metal and sometimes lined with leather to provide a little more protection as well. Often they would, not only the front, many times they would cover the back as well, but they would tie into the belt to hold it in place. But a breastplate is pretty crucial. Why? Heart and lungs. This is where the vitals are, right? You can be wounded in your leg, your foot, your arm, and you can survive. You get hit in the heart and lungs and liver, you're done for. Okay? It's pretty hard to survive that. Those are your vitals. And so the breastplate was a very crucial piece of equipment. It could protect maybe from some arrows coming or a slash of a sword from things hitting it. It protected the vitals. I forgot the first principle. First principle is to live your life with honesty and integrity. Did you guys get that? All right, okay. Breastplate of righteousness. Paul then goes on to protecting our heart. What he says, breastplate of righteousness. What he is saying is that righteousness in our life is like a breastplate that protects our heart. Now, it's not talking about so much God's righteousness. It's talking about us living a righteous life in our own lives. Then when we do what is right, what God has called us to obey in our own lives, it is like a breastplate of righteousness in our life. Did you know that? Pretty basic and simple, isn't it? See, what happens if we know the Word of God and we get into the Word of God, but we're selective and we say, I'm going to obey God in this area, but not in this area. It's like going out into battle with my heart exposed. And Satan says, there's an open spot. Boom. Got him right in the heart. Down for the count. But see, when we live our lives in complete truthfulness and in righteousness, it's a shield. It's a shield. And see, we sometimes see the righteousness of God, and God has instructions of how we should live. And many times we see that as, oh God, I don't want to, those are rules, and I don't want to do that. God has placed them there not for to be restrictive, but for our own protection and to help us to live a godly life. And not to give the enemy a foothold, an open shot into our lives, but to protect him. Proverbs chapter 4 says he gives some things to protect in our lives. And my son, he says, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Okay, do not let them out of your sight. Keep them with all your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's own body. And above all else, he says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Jesus said that it was out of the heart that come thoughts and attitudes and our actions. Guard your heart. How do we guard our heart? By living a righteous life in the strength that God provides. All right? So you're doing all right? Okay, belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness. Paul then says, and now have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Do we have a good pair of shoes in the house? Who has the good pair of shoes? All right, Nathaniel, you're up. Wyatt, okay, come on. All right, bring him over here. Now you may think football cleats, really? All right, but really, look. See those? Those are what the Roman soldiers wore. What did they have on the bottom of them? Spikes, cleats. Many historians attribute the success of the Roman army to their shoes. You may think that is just crazy. But they were the first people to kind of perfect good traction and put the spikes on their shoes. And that traction made all the difference when they were in the heat of battle. They had traction. They had been able to stand their ground so that they could fight. Have you ever tried to fight on slippery ground or clay soil or try to get your traction going up a hill that was all slippery and slimy? Yeah. You fell and maybe hurt yourself. You're not going to be able to fight in those circumstances. And the Roman soldier had the advantage because he had good footing and he was able to hold his ground in good traction. You know, and sometimes in our own life, Paul realized, you know what? The spiritual Christian, Satan comes at him and they lose their footing. And they fall down. Paul says you can avoid that by having good shoes on. Now, what is these shoes with the readiness that comes from the gospel? I call it appropriate footwear. So the last point was live a righteous life. This one is to likewise, when we stand on the gospel, the word of God, it gives us a firm place to stand. So the good shoes is to stand on God's word, to know God's word, to rest in the peace it brings, and to apply it to our lives. And it gives us that rock to stand upon. Now, if you don't know the word of God, you're not going to be able to stand upon it, right? Satan's going to come with his lies and his schemes, and you're going to be like that salesman that just sold you something, and you realize, you know what? They just took me for a ride. We were talking with my cousins. They're missionaries. They're going to be with us in March for our spring missions convention or emphasis. But they were they had just been with us. It was on their last itineration probably 4 years ago. And they had just been with us, and they had this van, this conversion van that got down the road, and the transmission burned up down in Dallas. And so they went to this car dealership, and this guy says, yeah, this is the van that you need. Yours was a 3/4 ton. This is a half ton, but you know what? It has the towing package. It's going to really do well for you, and you guys will do well. So they bought the van. They got to Denver, and brand new van. Already the transmission is burned up. And the guy up in Denver says, there's no towing package on this thing. There's, you know, the salesman had sold them on that. And they didn't know the difference. They paid good money for it, and they ended up taking a loss on it. God ended up providing and worked everything out. But often we can be like that because we don't know the word of God. Satan takes advantage of us in our area of weakness, and we lose our footing. But if we have the word of God, it gives us a firm place to stand. Just like football cleats or the Roman soldiers' sandals that they wore, it gives us a firm place to stand. Okay? And so the point there is know the word of God. Okay? Principle number three. Number three. Let's go to number four, right? Okay? In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Do we have a shield of faith in the house? All right. Chase, you got the shield of faith. All right. All right. The shield of faith. All right. Now, the Roman shield was a little bit bigger than that. It was actually 2 feet by 4 feet. And I don't know, do we have that picture? It's 2 feet by 4 feet. It was actually more rectangular. I believe the Greek ones were round ones, but the Roman ones were more rectangular. And they actually could form together, a group of them could actually kind of provide a big shield to a group of people as they combined their shields together. But the shields were often, they were metal and often lined with leather, and they were very useful in the area of what? Of the arrows, right? When a barrage of arrows would come in, they could put up the shield and, you know, the arrows would go into it. And even if they were flaming arrows that had been dipped in a substance and set on fire, it would quench those arrows that would come their way. You know, and we get those arrows thrown at us at times. Okay, it might not be a physical arrow, but it can be a fiery word from somebody at work or at school. It's kind of like whoosh, right there, and it's kind of like, wow, those words just really hurt. Yeah. Proverbs says those reckless words cut like a sword. like an arrow. And at times we're not on our guard, and those words just really cut deep, and they can really hurt. And the way that we, or sometimes we're going through life and the budget is tight, and all of a sudden the car breaks down, we have this obstacle comes in, and that dart, that arrow just comes in and just kind of like, it just knocks us for a loop. We go, man, I didn't see that coming. The shield of faith. See, and we're not talking about just faith in general. We're talking about faith in God. We're trusting in the character of who God is, that He is faithful, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Is that in God's Word? Yes, it is. That's a big shield, yep. We're talking about that God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Philippians says that my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Another verse says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's the promises of God's word. And as we put our faith in God, it is like a shield. And even though those arrows come in, they can be intimidating. They can maybe kind of set us back. We hold up the shield of faith and boom, they're stopped dead, because we know that God is going to pull us through those times. We can't get focused on the arrows that are coming in. We have to be focused on our God and have faith in Him. Amen? The shield of faith. So, live each day by faith. This is for Gary. When I was thinking about just the shield of faith and living each day by faith, the hymn, standing on the promises of God, right? Standing on the promises, I will not fail. Trusting in each day. Standing on the promises of God. Hymn I grew up with. But we trust in the faith of God. We have faith in Him and who He is. All right. It is more than positive thinking. It is trusting the very character of God. All right. Number five, he says to put on the helmet of salvation. All right. Do we have a helmet here? All right. I think this helmet will fit Daniel a little bit better than Josh. All right. The helmet of salvation. The Roman helmet was known for that it had protection on the neck, the ears, it came down, so that if a sword came in, yeah, you had a growth spurt, soldier. If that sword came in and protected the neck and some of the vital, you know, you get your head lopped off, you're not going to be much good, right? It was a very valuable piece of equipment. You get hit on the head, have that arrow glance off your head. It was huge. You know, we use helmets in a lot of different football and driving motorcycles and the list goes on. We use helmets because we know how important it is to protect your head, right? We need that protection. And Paul sees the Roman soldier there and he says, like the helmet is salvation. Now, what does that mean? The helmet of salvation. That's the knowledge, knowing that you are saved. You're saved. When you've asked Christ into your heart and your life, the knowledge and the hope of your salvation, we talked about that, right? Tessa read that. To know the hope. It is the knowledge that you are saved. Now, how many of you feel saved every day? Some of you? Yeah, I don't always feel saved, okay? Just going to be... Some days I feel like I'm saved. Some days it's kind of like, I don't know if I feel like I'm saved. There's days I question it, okay? All right? Okay? And I think if you probably you're probably realizing, yeah, there's probably days. Sometimes, but the knowledge of our salvation, we can't depend on feelings, right? It's to know that I have been saved. I've asked Christ into my heart and life, and that I'm saved. And Satan can come at me, he can say, you know what, if you were saved, and he begins to place doubt in our minds. He often fights those battles right up here, right? In our mind. The battlefield of the mind. And the knowledge of salvation says, you know what, I know that I'm saved. I may have temptations that come our way. You know, sometimes we think we have temptation come our way, and sometimes those temptations are pretty hard and difficult. And we question, man, you know, if I was truly saved, why would I be having those thoughts? Why would I be tempted in that way? Because you're human, right? Temptation is not sin. But when we give in to temptation, then we sin. Knowing that we are saved is very crucial, and standing upon that promise. Every time that Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he said, "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God." He called into question the Son of God's status, where he was with God the Father. And what Satan will do to you, he'll say, if you are a child of God, if you are saved, truly God would take care of you. Truly, you wouldn't have to be needing these things. You wouldn't be tempted. He brings in doubt that you are a child of his. And when we put on the helmet of salvation, it reminds us that I'm a child of God. And there are times that we just have to go to God's Word and read the verses that talk about that. Ephesians, that says that if any man, Ephesians says that I am saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and behold, all things have become new. And sometimes we need to get back to those verses and say, you know what? This is what I did. This is who I am. I don't believe you, Satan. And the helmet is the helmet of salvation. Amen? This is what Paul says in Romans 8. He says, who can separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for the sake of death all day long, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Okay? He's talking about some difficult times. But in all these things, we are more than... I can't hear you. Conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any power, height or depth, can, or anything in all creation, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? The helmet of salvation, to trust in God. So the fifth one, stand in the assurance of your salvation. Stand in that assurance that you are saved. Now, that's not an excuse to go and live like the devil, okay? But there has to be. I felt like every time I messed up growing up, and that's just kind of the way it was in the church at that point, but I felt like every time that I messed up, I thought for sure I was going to hell, okay? And then there's others that feel like, you know, once you ask Christ in your life, you can live like you want to, and you're still going to go to heaven. I think it's somewhere in the middle, okay? That in that process, as I grow and mature as a believer, I am going to make mistakes. I'm going to disobey God. I'm going to fall flat on my face. But I know that I've asked Christ in my life and that his grace is extended to me, and I can get back up, get on my feet, and go live for him. And God's grace is there. I don't take advantage of that grace, but it's there when I need it. Am I making sense? And I have the assurance that, you know what, even in that process, that journey of life, am I going to fail God? Absolutely. I don't want to, but I'm going to. But as long as I hold on to his hand and I look to him, I'll never lose my salvation. I have to keep my eyes on him. All right? I keep my eyes on him. Number six, and take up the what? Sword of the Spirit. All right, Christopher, it looks like you are on, man. Come on, dude. All right, be careful with that, baby. All right, we don't want any casualties, no lost limbs today. All right. Yep. Give it to our Roman soldier here. All right. All right. Thanks, Christopher. Give me five. Give me five. All right. All right. Okay. The sword of the Spirit. Now, as far as offensive weapons, they say that the shoes and the sword are probably the most offensive weapons. It can be used for defense and offense, right? The sword was used to stop maybe another sword, but it also could be offensive. And the sword stands for what? The Word of God that we advance. You know, when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he says, you know, if you are the Son of God, do, you know, turn the stones into bread, jump off this tall building, the angels will come get you. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. How did Jesus confront each of those temptations? with the Word of God. He immediately went to the Word, and God says, you know what? Scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. And each time that Satan came with him, called into question, placed doubt, Jesus came back with the Word of God. It comes back to that we have to know the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. And we can't use that sword if we don't know what the Word of God says. And so we have to get into the Word of God, and on a daily basis, get into God's Word, read it, memorize it, meditate upon it, and get it into our heart and life, because it is only useful to us if we know God's Word. And if we don't know God's Word, Satan is going to use every trick in the book, and he's just going to be laughing. They got all these weapons, and they don't know what's at their disposal. And he's going to have a heyday with us because we don't know the Word of God. The last principle is counterattack with the Word of God. Know what the Word of God says so that we can fight off the devil's evil schemes. You know, and it's very evident in Paul's passage here that I cannot just put on the armor of God one day and call it good. I accept Christ, I put on the armor of God, and I sleep in it, eat with it, and do all that. The idea is that it's a daily thing. I daily have to put on the armor of God, to be in God's Word, to be in prayer, and be prepared for what is going to happen in my day. Good, and maybe even that Satan's going to be out there as my adversary. But I have to be prepared on a daily basis. And what I find in the Christian life is that a lot of times we want to, Sunday mornings, we're going to put on the full armor of God, we're in church, and then we go off the rest of our week and we don't crack our Bible, we don't bow our knee in prayer, and we go through all the busyness of life, and all of a sudden in the middle of the week, boom, we get hit. Because our armor's not on. And Paul is he's saying, you know what? Each and every day we have to be prepared and we have to be ready. We have to put on the armor of God. It's a daily thing. One of the things we're learning in our Old Testament class as we're going through the Old Testament, and one of the illustrations that God caused them to live through is that he provided food for them in the wilderness. It was called what? Manna. Now, could they go out once a week and collect all the manna they wanted for the whole week, like kind of go into the grocery store? A lot of you do that. You go to the grocery store once a week and you get everything you need. Could they do that? What'd they have to do? Every day. Except for the day on Friday, they can get a 2 days worth portion. And if they did that any other day of the week other than Friday, it would mold and it would rot. But on Fridays, they could get a double portion and it would keep for the next day through the Sabbath. There's a spiritual principle there, guys. God wants to be our daily bread. He doesn't want to be our weekly bread. It has to be a daily thing. That dependence upon God. And God has not called us to walk this spiritual journey on our own. It is with God. It's in cooperation with Him. He has to be with us. And it has to be a daily thing, where we come before Him and spend time in His Word, spend time in prayer, spend time in the body of Christ with a small group or Sunday mornings, fellowshipping and encouraging one another. We need those times. It's not about legalism. It is about being a strong soldier and standing strong. Standing strong. Did we cover the last point? Counterattack with the Word of God. I think above all things, thank you, Roman soldier, you can... God wants us to be victorious. I'm going to have the musicians come. We're going to sing Consuming Fire through one time and then go into Counting on God. Is that okay? All right. Would you stand this morning? This is kind of a fun message for kids, but even adults. But there's a deep spiritual truth here, isn't it, that I don't want us to miss. Because many of us, if we've walked with God very long, have found ourselves licking our battle wounds. Because we went out into battle in our flip-flops, our shorts, and our tank top. And we caught one when we weren't expecting it. And those can be some very difficult days. Days that we can question our faith. We can question God. We can get discouraged. We feel defeated. And the question is not that we're not going to have adversity in our lives. The question is, are we going to be able to stand and be victorious? And that's what Paul says. You know what? I'm in prison, but I'm not defeated. I'm not destroyed. I'm not knocked down. I'm sharing my faith here in prison. I'm writing letters. I'm leading Roman soldiers to Christ and fellow prisoners. I'm not defeated. I'm not discouraged. I'm holding my ground. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to hold our ground and to stand. So we're going to sing this through. Would you just reach out to God this morning and say, God, fill me anew. If you just need to maybe say, hey, God, forgive me. I've just failed in some of these areas. Just ask for God for strength and His wisdom. And then we're going to kind of end on a high note. Now let's allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to your life for a minute as we sing this chorus through.